I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome into Poke the Bear episode 141, presented by FanDuel. I'm Evan Marinofsky. That's Connor Ryan. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I'm doing well. How you doing?
Doing great. You're doing well. I'm surprised after Thursday night. Tough loss. Close game through the first two periods. Lots of penalties. Some unfortunate stuff. But alas,
listen,
tough loss for the Terriers.
Listen. Hell of a season for the Terriers. They'll be back. Lane Hudson, please don't leave. I don't think he will. A great senior class, but they got a lot of talented freshmen coming in. They'll be back. Again, you hate to see it. All of college hockey is mourning today. The fact that BU, the true underdog, up-and-coming program, couldn't topple the juggernaut that is Minnesota. But again, we'll be back, Evan. We'll be back.
Putting the dog in underdog.
As the kids say, they've got that dog in them. So
yes, they literally do. I think Macklin Celebrini's coming in next season. There's some good recruits. And Lane Hudson, I would assume, will stay. You don't see many one and done freshmen in this day and age. But heck of a season. I mean, BU, it's funny. I think the preseason, the hockey's coaches poll at the beginning of the year was like Northeastern. And then BU and UMass were like 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. One of those teams did a lot better than the other. But heck of a season for BU. I know there was a YouTube commenter. I was checking the comments recently, which is always a great idea to look at the YouTube comments.
Always a blast.
I will say, though, our YouTube comments are pretty nice. They're either nice things about us or about the Bruins. So it's like, I'm always for it. But there was one who was like, of course, they're starting off with college hockey talk again. And it's like, oh, it's that time of year. It's the Frozen Four. We definitely won't next episode. No disrespect to Quinnipiac, but neither of us have any allegiance to them whatsoever. But yeah, heck of a season from BU. Heck of a college hockey season in general. Should be an interesting national championship on Saturday with Minnesota and Quinnipiac. But something else could happen on Saturday, Connor. When number 62 could happen, which would tie the record. Still 4 games left in the regular season. Devils on Saturday night. By the way, college hockey stuff, Luke Hughes is joining the Devils in Boston. So he actually, imagine opening game against, first NHL game against the Bruins. Hell of an opening. He's a kid I think will slot straight into the NHL and just be completely fine. I think it's going to be like a Cale Makar situation. Guy comes in, immediately has an impact. Definitely will help them in the first round if they end up facing the Rangers or whoever they face. But another thing, aside from 62, David Pastrnak currently at 57 goals. We talked about a fun segment on Bruins beat, Willie Ketch McDavid. Don't think he's doing that. That's a little bit too much to ask for with just a handful of games left in the regular season. But 60 is not out of reach. And if that stomach virus clears, the stomach virus flu game he had on Thursday, if that stomach virus goes away, Connor, there's a chance he hits 60.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't think what else can really slow him down if you're playing in a game like that against Toronto, which, again, I think guys get excited for playing a team like Toronto, a team that you could very well face in the playoffs. But all things considered, didn't have a lot to play for in that game. And for Pastrnak to still be out there battling a stomach bug, testament to him, again, even with, the ups and downs sometimes of a game, he still has that one timer that can change a game with one shot. So, Yeah, I don't think it's without reason that he could hit that 60 goal. I mean, it's going to be a tough matchup against the Devils, and I think we're going to just operate with the assumption that they're going to be playing, that he's going to try to play these next couple of games, try to get to 60. Whether it's, you know, the Flyers, the Capitals, Montreal, like they're not exactly a murderer's row of teams that he's facing down the stretch here. Not teams that are known, especially for the defensive side of things. So would not be surprised at all. I mean, you look at just the way he's playing right now. I think for the Bruins, it's, you're encouraged the fact that I think he's got what, 6 goals in his last 5 games. I mean, he's heating up. Not to say that a guy with almost, you know, what is it, 57 goals, a guy hasn't really had a lot of cold stretches this year, but I think you're seeing him, especially over the last week plus, really kind of settle into a groove here, which you're going to hope that if he's playing these last couple of games against these teams like Montreal or Philly, that kind of gives him that springboard that he can carry that into the playoffs when it starts.
Hey, I know what it feels like to play hockey with a stomach virus. When I was in second grade, I went to a Lake Placid tournament, the illustrious Lake Placid tournament, and was throwing up the entire ride up, throwing up the first day. So I know exactly what he's going through. Yeah. I mean, I know it to a T. I remember it vividly. But no, I mean, that's a tough thing. But as you said, again, the it's not really a murderer's row coming up. Probably facing some younger goalies in there as well. I think the other big takeaway from Pastrnak of late has been, you know, it has not been the full cast around him. We'll get to Krejci in a second, but there have been a few games here where a lot of top guys are not playing, and he's stepping up. I know we discussed this a little bit on Bruins Beat, but I think it's an encouraging thing that when he's needed to carry them, not that they need it right now because everything's clinched, but he's carried them at times in some of these games, and I think it's an important thing to have. I know there are some out there who were kind of weary of the money they gave him, but I think it's a very encouraging sign that, you know, he can do that and that he can kind of, a wing like him can put the team on his back. Now, obviously we see stuff on Twitter from other media folks about his turnover rates, which I kind of roll my eyes at, because as Ty Anderson put on Twitter the other day, the top turnover per 60 guys in the league are the guys who have the puck the most. Because sometimes, Connor, when you have the puck a lot, you turn the puck over a lot, and that's how it goes. It's how hockey works. It's like remember when teams used to be like, oh, that team has the most hits in the NHL, and it's like, that means they don't have the puck that much. Like, it's just like, exactly. Do some reasoning here, yeah. And you get to that. And I don't understand why people get all in a tizzy about the turnover thing.
It's literally like Pastrnak's on the list with other noted deeply flawed players like Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Nikita Kucherov, Nathan MacKinnon.
I think Panarin's in there.
Yeah, again, it's one of those things where you roll with the punches. Yes, there are times when Pastrnak tries to do too much or tries to, you know, do a solo effort or what have you, but you know what? He's got the skill to do it. Like, again, I think you want to encourage that. It's like if you have Adam Dunn on your baseball lineup and you're like, listen, sometimes you're going to strike out, but we're not going to encourage you to hit some bunt singles. We want you swinging for the fences because we know you can do it.
Joey Gallo.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and again, like Pastrnak is a more complete player than just a 35.
Than Adam Dunn.
Yeah, I know it's very disrespectful to David Pastrnak to compare him to Adam Dunn. But again, you want to encourage the strengths of his game. And even if that includes the occasional turnover or what have you, he more than makes up for it every single game. I mean, as you said, like those games where he's putting the team on his back, like that Pittsburgh game, like that's why you roll with the punches. You look at, you know, the overtime goal against Toronto. Like, these are things that, in the grand scheme of things, they all work out, and they usually work out in your favor if you have a guy like David Pastrnak. You roll with those turnovers and sometimes those sequences there, because for every, I think, one egregious turnover that leads to a breakaway goal, you got to have about, what, 8 or 9 goals in your favor. Like, it does not happen to the – this isn't like, you know, like Dennis Weidman or something like this, where it's like, all right, like, getting a lot of like assists out there, but in his own zone, holy Christ! Like, it's not like that with David Pastrnak.
Trucking referees,
exactly.
Trucking referees, yeah. Over. Yeah, I don't understand it. I mean, I get, you know, there are turnovers here and there, and people get annoyed with it. But again, this is a guy who's almost a 60 goal scorer. I don't get all, you know. Again, now if you get to the playoffs and he makes an egregious turnover and it leads to, you know, a goal the other way in overtime, and he has, you know, 3 points in 7 games or something, then yeah, you have a gripe. But we haven't hit that yet. We have not come close to that yet. And I don't suspect that'll happen. Because I I don't know. I mean, again, if people want a more perfect player, I get that. But McDavid's having those same turnovers. Dreisaitl, all those guys are having the exact same turnovers. I don't know why it's this just complete meltdown at times over that stuff. Moving into other lineup stuff, David Krejci, doubtful for this upcoming weekend, back-to-back games. Again, love the love the four-day break in the middle and then the back-to-back games. Whatever, it's the way the schedule works. We bitched enough about the schedule. How important is it right now for Krejci to get that rest?
Yeah, I think it's key, right? It's something that Jim Montgomery mentioned that. It's one thing, I think, to be precautious. And, you know, Charlie McAvoy leaves that game early against Toronto, and they said it's more, more precautionary, and maybe he won't play this weekend. But Montgomery today on Friday didn't exactly rule it out. So maybe he plays Saturday, has the day off Sunday. That makes sense. It does seem like for Krejci, they're not going to push it. Montgomery says he's still pretty sore with whatever he's dealing with. So bit concerning, but I think, you know, for a guy like him who's got that mileage, again, the Bruins don't have much to play for right now. Give him all the time he needs, right? Like, shut him down for, you know, the next week and a half and let him recover. Because, one, again, don't have much to play for right now, barring, obviously, the regular season record. But I don't think that's the forefront of their focus at this stage. But also, you have a very good backup plan with Pavel Zacha, right? I mean, you look at that game against Pittsburgh. He's the 2C in that game and has three assists. Like, you're not having a steep drop-off in terms of what you're seeing out of, fielding a roster over these final games of the regular season. So, I think for the Bruins, it's all about giving him as much rest as possible because you need everyone up to speed and healthy and locked in by the time the playoffs start.
One thing we talked a lot about when the Bruins acquired Zacha last year and then when the Bruins signed Zacha to an extension back this winter was, you know, is he a potential 2C of the future? You know, there was a guy that we kind of were, you know, maybe he's a safe player. He's a safe bet. He's nothing, you know, you're not, the floor is not super low on a guy like Zacha, but, you know, is it high enough to be, you know, David Krejci potentially, David Krejci's replacement, if Krejci and or Bergeron retire at the end of the season? And I feel like he has proven himself more and more as someone who could potentially shoulder such a load.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think he's playing at a high level, and something that I think the Bruins have been cognizant about is that, again, they're focusing all on this year, of course, right? Like, every move has painted that picture. You look at just, like, even getting guys that could be rentals like Hathaway and Orlov and Bertuzzi, but you still have to plan ahead. And, again, that's not to say that Zacha can step in and be a 70-point guy year in and year out, even though Montgomery said that he thinks he has the means to be a guy that can give you 60-plus if he's entrenched in a 2C role. But what Zacha, you know, brings and having him locked up to that long-term deal, it's one thing the Bruins haven't had in a long, long time when it comes to that kind of looming question about the next wave down the middle. They have options. They have someone that, even if he's not at the same pedigree as maybe a guy like Krejci or Bergeron, he's still someone that, if put in the right spot, is a smart player, really a poised playmaker, has a really great shot that they're still trying to get him to use a lot more. Like, he's not a guy that I think it's one of those situations where maybe he's better suited as a 3C and looks out of place in that spot. Like, you've seen him. I think he's played 10 total games, I think, in a slotted over center this year, and he has 10 points in those 10 games. Again, not going to be an 80-point guy, but if you tell me next year that he's going to be healthy and he's going to have David Pastrnak and Taylor Hall, let's say, next to him for an entire season, pretty good recipe for success. So, and that's not even counting, like, you know, a lot of his damage that he's done this year has been at even strength play. So if it is a situation where a guy like Bergeron and Krejci aren't there, you know, he's slotted in there at the bumper a few times during these last couple of games as well, and has been pretty solid. So he's a guy that, again, gives you at least another option there. It's tough to replace one, especially two of those guys, especially, let's say, it's this offseason, but Zach at least gives you that ability to slot one guy in there, and at least you still should have a very functioning, effective line there.
Yeah, again, Zacha right now, 53 points, ranks fifth on the Bruins, right behind Bergeron and Krejci. So, and I, you know, they're just right above him at like 57, and they're just right there. So, again, Zacha's been a solid bet as a potential future 2C.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal.
Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You know, Connor, this show this year has been very positive. It's been a positive show. There's been no reason for negativity. I know some people might want us to rip the team and poke holes in things, and we just don't feel the need to do it. There's no reason to. They're on pace to be the best team in NHL history. I mean, seriously, like, what do you want us to do here? And you and I, at times in the past, have certainly ripped the Bruins for certain things. We're not, you know, all positive all the time. But one thing that's popped up on our radars of recent, Brad Marchand, and it's an interesting thing that we've seen this year, again, coming off double hip surgery. We talked about this at the beginning of the year. But he's, you know, his production has slowed down a bit. Has not been the same player this year. I don't think anyone would say he's been up to the level that he's been at in past years. Only a goal since February 27th. And is this something to worry about? Because as we've seen this year, and we've talked about this 1,000 times, there's a lot of depth on this team. A lot of depth, but still Marchand is a key piece. That is your number one left wing. Is this a reason to potentially get worried?
Yeah, I think it's something worth monitoring. And I think for the Bruins, you know, I think you look at where he is, and he's been very, I think, transparent and upfront about, you know, him coming back from that hip surgery, and he still hasn't felt like his game's in the right spot. Like, he's never a guy that will make an excuse or won't, you know, lighten, you know, what he's dealing with, or where he feels his game is at, and he feels like it's not there yet. But it's an interesting kind of balance, right? Because I think a lot of people view it as, all right, just have him on the same routine as crazy, just sit him out these last couple of games. I think he spoke to Matt Porter of the Boston Globe a few days ago, and he's pretty much like, yeah, I'm not going out of the lineup. So I think if that's the case and he wants to stay out there and wants to keep on working on his game, I mentioned this watching the game on Thursday against the Maple Leafs. The one thing kind of stood out to me is if he's on that power play, I would just like feed Marchand that puck, like have him be more of a shot first guy on that power play. It's not really what his role has been, especially over the last couple of years. But if you're in a spot where, especially you're playing some teams that are not very, you know, strengthened by defensive fortitude, like Philly or Montreal, and you have Marchand kind of take more of a shot first approach, and he pots a power play goal or two, I think that can go a long way towards just kind of getting him back on track. And there's been a couple of times for as effective as Marchand has been, he's had a few lulls over the last couple of years where it'd be like, you know, 7, 8, 9 games without a goal. And then he gets like one goal finally goes his way, and he kind of goes on a little bit of a heater there. So if Marchand is, you know, intent on not getting out of the lineup, then I would try to do something like that where you're either funneling him more pucks on the power play or just get him something to get kind of get the monkey off his back, because he's, as you said, I think he's clearly fighting it right now.
Well, also, it's funny you mentioned the power play. That's something also you could do in the playoffs, too. I mean, in a 7-game series, teams are going to try to shut down Pastrnak on that right side. Then you have, Bergeron in the bumper, things like that. Try other options. Marchand is a safe option for that shot where he is on the power play. So, again, I agree with you on that. In terms of worrying, you know, I don't think Marchand is, you know, you've gotten this far with Marchand like this. I don't think that, you know, you're going to lose a playoff series because Marchand isn't scoring goals. I think it's also just a play away from the puck, you know, and just when he has the puck on his stick, how good is he at still protecting it? There's obviously been a little bit of slowdown this year, but again, I don't think it's reason to worry fully, but it's not great. You don't really want that. Be nice if he got a little spark in these last couple games going into the postseason. And again, it's Brad Marchand. He ain't going down without a fight. I know that sounds really, you know, homerish, but he's not. I mean, this is Brad Marchand we're talking about. He's not just going to, you know, mail it in the playoffs or anything. He's going to find a way to hopefully for the Bruins to contribute.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Speaking of the playoffs, first round matchups, the wild card right now. Whoa. Talk about a crazy battle that the Bruins are very lucky they're not a part of. Islanders, Penguins, Panthers, all battling for a wild card spot and wild card positioning. And it begs the question, Connor, of those three teams. By the way, before we get to this, did you see the Panthers-Senators game on Thursday night?
Ooh. Bananas.
Ooh, crazy. You wouldn't think a Senators-Panthers game on April 6th would do anything for anybody, but my goodness, old-time hockey.
Entertaining.
Yeah, very entertaining. Of those three teams, though, Islanders, Penguins, Panthers, who is the one that would cause the Bruins the most issues?
Yeah, I think, again, we've probably prefaced this by saying the Bruins will be the overwhelming favorite.
Do have to do this, yes.
Yes. But I think for that one, I think it's Islanders. I don't think it's particularly close. I think
agreed.
Compared to, Panthers, again, I give the Panthers credit for, I think, really climbing out of a hole, especially in the first half. They've got a lot of star power, move the puck well. They've given the Bruins problems this season, but Penguins, I don't think it's a very good team roster-wise. Like, they've got a lot of stars anchoring the top of their group, but Ron Hextall, brother, what have you done? Like, that roster is so out of place. Too many. That's a team that, even with their high end talent, they have way too many soft areas that roster that the Bruins could just, I think, land body shot after body shot in a playoff series. But you look at the Islanders, right? When you're matched up against a team that I think is, you know, has a lot more talent across the board, the best formula to overcome that over a 7-game series is be boring. Be boring, miserable to play against, and have a really good goalie that can steal you a game or two. Islanders have that, right? Like, they do not score a lot of goals, even though Barzal coming back will help them out. But they've got a defense that knows how to lock things down. They're stingy to play against. Love playing low event, boring hockey, which, again, it's not fun to watch. But I think you look at some of the most, you know, discouraging games for the Bruins this year. It's been very few, but a few of those losses that stand out are probably like that home loss to the Kraken.
That's the one I was thinking of. If teams are going to beat the Bruins, they're going to have to go back and watch that game.
And then slowing them down in the neutral zone, just playing frustrating slow hockey. Islanders are good at it. And even, like, I don't think they're as defensively sound as maybe they were in years past when Barry Trotz was there running the ship, but Sorokin's the great equalizer there, right? Like, he, I think, is probably the best goalie you're going to face out of that group there. If not, I mean, if there's anyone who's going to challenge Ullmark for Vezina, it's probably Sorokin, and it should be, right? So that's a guy that, again, Bruins should be the favorites to win that series, but I don't think it'd be fun. Like, I think you look at Pittsburgh, I would say 5 games, if like that.
Yeah.
Like, even Florida, a little bit more high scoring, they could make things interesting, but I still don't see them having just the overall matchup wise. Again, Bruins should win. I think they should win against the Islanders, but it could be 6 games and each game's decided by a goal, right? Like, that's just the way the Islanders like to play. And that's why they grinded their way almost to a run to the Stanley Cup a few years back. Like, that's a team that maybe isn't that same level they were 2-3 years ago. But if you've got a stingy defense and Sorokin in net and he's playing well, again, Sorokin also has not played the Bruins at all this year. They've kept him away from the Bruins. So, that's the one that I would be like, that could be a bit of a slog. That's the last thing I think you want a nice, like, 5-game waltz into the playoffs, right? Like, that's the ideal situation. Islanders, they will drag that out.
A nice appetizer. Sorokin was the one who started that series in 2021, right? And then Varlamov came in. That was the order it went. Yeah. So again, I know he's been hidden from the Bruins, but as you said, I don't think it's even close. I think the Islanders are the hardest of those three teams to face, just the way, as you said, they play. And it goes back to that Kraken game. I remember us saying at the time, like, if teams want a blueprint to beat the Bruins, you're not going to outscore them. You know, you're not going to outcheck them or anything like that. You got to pack it in. You got to play boring. You got to be aggressive when the Bruins are going back and getting retrieving pucks. You can't give their defensemen time as they're coming up the ice. Got to be aggressive in the neutral zone, things like that. So the Islanders would do that. The Islanders would have no issue doing that. Now, do I think the Islanders beat the Bruins in a 7-game series? No, I don't. I think the Bruins get past them. But as you said, I don't think it's easy at all. To play devil's advocate, though, because we got to get all perspectives here, and I want to do that. Penguins, I don't think, have a chance. That's a really uninspiring team up there, over there.
The bottom six, and that the depths of their defense is yikes.
Oh, can you imagine what a third line of Hall, Coyle, and Bertuzzi would do to the Penguins? Ooh. Oh my God, that would not even be a close series. But as I said, it would be fun to see Crosby and Malkin in the playoffs again. I do think that would be interesting. Always the star power there. And I think the NHL would love that to be a first round series, ratings wise. But the Panthers are an interesting case because to me, I look at Matthew Tkachuk. I know it's easy to zero in on him, but just, I know we mentioned that Senators game, what he can do, you know, clean open ice hits, some little dirty open ice hits, some just being a pest, you know, potentially taking guys out, starting fights, getting guys off the ice, things like that. He's good at. And I think if you're playing him in a 7-game series and, you know, does he injure anybody? Does he, what kind of challenges does he present the way he plays? Now the Bruins have what it takes to wither that Hathaway and Marchand and Bertuzzi. And like you have pieces there that can kind of fight that. But still, that's an annoying thing to face in round one, right? Like, that's not an easy thing. And also, the Panthers can score a lot of goals. So, again, I don't think they're as safe and out as the Penguins, but they're not as tough as the Islanders. So, the Panthers are an interesting team there. It would be cool, though, down in South Florida for a first-round matchup. I know next week, though, weather-wise, here in Boston, probably most of New England, very nice weather. I don't know if you looked ahead and saw that. So, yeah. So, I don't know if anyone's going to want to travel there in that. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting thing. What ends up happening with the first round, who the Bruins get, as you said, they'll be a favorite no matter what. And make sure you can go bet on the Bruins, obviously, with our good friends over at FanDuel. Connor, what can the people look forward to from you over at boston.com and the Boston Globe?
Yeah, we're going to have you covered every step of the way throughout the final days of the regular season. And of course, throughout the playoffs with game recaps, features, breakdowns, all that good stuff over at boston.com and the Globe. Of course, we have you covered on everything going on in Boston sports. So Red Sox, Patriots offseason, Celtics getting ready for their own playoff run. We have you covered every step of the way over there. So please read all of our stuff over there. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at Connor Ryan_93.
Go do all that. And remember to go subscribe to New England Hockey Journal. That is Connor Ryan. I'm Evan Marinofsky. Poke the Bear listeners. Have a great rest of your week.